Welcome to another episode of the Pharma Forum podcast. In this episode, I spoke with Kevin Knopp, CEO and co-founder of 908 Devices, which seeks to bring up to speed chemical and biochemical analysis with handheld and desktop devices for critical-to-life applications. Our conversation ranges across an excitingly accelerating landscape, touching upon AI and machine learning, mass spectrometry and cell and gene therapies and personalized medicine, to the point where the question begs, with so much speed, is there an endpoint? Hopefully there's a little something for everyone here, and do please feel free to send in any comments or suggestions for future episodes. In the meantime, as ever, thank you for listening. This is web editor Nicole Rowley, and today I have with me Kevin Knopp, CEO and co-founder of 908 Devices. Today, we'll be discussing speed, namely the velocity at which biopharma is bringing new therapies and medicines to market faster. This, of course, is by virtue of technological advancements, so do expect discussion of artificial intelligence, the buzzword AI, during our conversation. 908 Devices seeks to bring up to speed chemical and biochemical analysis with its handheld and desktop devices for critical-to-life applications. Its vision being one of reimagining, wherein mass spectrometry, or mass spec, can be used if it is sufficiently small in size, low in cost, and simple to operate, accelerating workflows also. But before we plunge into all this, Kevin, perhaps you could tell myself and listeners a little bit more about you, about your journey to what you do today.
Yeah, be happy to. Thanks, Nicole, for having me. Really appreciate the opportunity. A bit of my background, I'm bringing an engineering perspective to today's call. My education is a PhD in electrical engineering, where I got into optical spectroscopy and now into spectrometry and really have been more surrounding the analytical instrument space over my career, kind of starting from the boom and bust of the telecom days and market, and then on to analytical instrumentation. And this is my second job in this space. So it's now been probably 20 years now in this analytical instrumentation space.
And how's that going? Is the passion still there? Is it a hunger, a new hunger each day as you see the advancements that are happening?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's very exciting because things are just keep changing. And that's one thing that keeps me in my seat and motivated here is that just every day you're learning something new, the market, the customers, just where everybody's trying to go, the pressures and the problems that everyone is trying to solve. Yes, it's very motivating. And one of the big reasons we started 908 Devices is that we saw opportunity there to help.
Great. So changes and challenges, pressures and problems. Now, one of the primary challenges researchers face is the time-consuming nature of processing a large number of samples. So traditionally, liquid chromatography has been the go-to technique for sample separations, but its speed constraints have left researchers yearning for a, and here we are with our theme of speed, faster alternative. They are specifically looking for faster mass spectrometry instruments and advanced tools for sample preparation and separations. So let's begin with that theme of speed in biopharma. And for those who might not be aware, Kevin, why is this so important and how is acceleration being facilitated, including through companies such as 908 Devices?
Yeah, absolutely. Speed matters. Speed is incredibly important. And it's really a competitive advantage of a large biopharmaceutical company or a biotech company today. It takes a long time to bring traditionally drugs to market. It can be upwards of 10 years to get the drug from an initial clinical trial all the way through to a pharmacy near you. As you hit on, I mean, there's a ton of data and acquiring it, interpreting it. There's some estimates that the analysts spend about 80% of their time working on those items. And there's a demand out there. So there's immense pressure to meet that demand for new drugs, particularly drugs going after new disease states, things that couldn't have been accessible before. And R&D scientists are feeling that pressure. And at the same time, they're trying to move faster, but they have to do it safely and with quality and cost efficiently. There's also pressure as you think about biologics and biosimilars, and you think about patent protection and timelines. There's always a race going on to get these products to market faster and get them out there and make an impact.
So if we come round to 908 devices, when we're considering all this, and my word, 80% of an analyst's time doing those tasks, the acquiring of the data, the interpreting of the data, when we're exploring the possibilities for taking away some of those pressures, for making all this happen, what role do AI and machine learning play in bioprocessing?
Yeah, so there's absolutely that tremendous need to move faster, whether it's in the lab or doing that data interpretation and the instrumentation, as well as the AI, I call it machine learning as part of that. A very wide range of use, as you probably know. People are working on AI technologies everywhere from patient identification and recruitment to protocol development, design, and to trial monitoring and that data analysis piece. So there's a lot of opportunity, I think, going forward for AI to impact this and really drive speed, can improve effectiveness of a current clinical trial in a number of different ways. And then automated tools can really help make those algorithms more efficient, more predictive, and offer feedback so that the scientists know where to go and can be more efficient.
And how are the real-time and predictive insights helping scientists understand how to stabilize their cell culture media?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's an initiative which has really been coined Biopharma 4.0. And that's an initiative to really enable data-driven, descriptive, predictive, and then prescriptive control of optimal endpoints in yield and quality and efficiency. So what that's really trying to say is that if you can have an ability to monitor, if you have then the ability to understand that data, and then the forward-looking ability to prescribe a change to a process, you can achieve a better outcome. And that could be a yield, a quality, or a cost efficiency. So people are using this construct of Biopharma 4.0. It involves absolutely the machine learning AI side of it, but it also very much involves the sensors and the instrumentation to do so. That can be measuring a cell culture media, as you stated. That can be taking a bioreactor and being able to monitor the constituents of that bioreactor, those ingredients that are so important to the cell cycle, like the sugars, the carbohydrates that go into that, but also the waste products, and really understanding how things are being consumed and proteins are built. So thinking like amino acids and seeing how they're being consumed over time or how they're accumulating over time. And all of these sensors and then the follow-on models that go with that data and interpretation allow these scientists to make better judgments on how they're moving forward in their workflow to avoid something like an amino acid misincorporation or some sort of post-translational modification that just isn't desired, impacts negatively the quality. And 908 really thinks there's a ton to do around this point, and that there's a lot that can be enabled with simplified mass spec devices, but sensors of a variety of types and constructs.
Okay, are you able to tell us a little bit more about the simple mass spec technology?
Yeah, absolutely. So mass spec has been around for a long, long time, and it's largely lived in a more centralized core facility. And these are facilities with trained scientists, infrastructure, a dedicated true laboratory environment. And I make an analogy often that it's akin to a supercomputer, very powerful, but also very complex in how you use it, but also how you maintain it, all the infrastructure requirements, and it's certainly quite costly, but incredibly powerful machine. Where 908 is working is to help with technologies to augment that in that lab environment. So we have a product called ZipChip that's being used to really accelerate the separations. So you mentioned liquid chromatography. So as an alternative to that, to use an electronic-based separation to drive separations 20 times faster. And we've done that and published that in papers with our customers, showing that they can measure 19 plus critical quality attributes 20 times faster. So that's minutes versus hours, which does truly make a difference. So mass spec has a traditional role to play, and we participate there in those centralized labs. But where we get very excited about is to help that need for speed and take things out to what we call the point of need. So taking our technologies out next to a bioreactor in a biopharmaceutical lab, right where the cell is being used as a factory. The cell is being used to grow that therapeutic, express those proteins. And how do we bring technologies like mass spec out of that high complex environment and bring it over to the bioreactor as a simplified analyzer that a technician, a biologist, someone's an expert at what they do, but not a mass spec trained analytical chemist is able to use it and harness its power. So 908 was founded on that principle about 11 years ago. And now we've been working to develop a very unique approach to mass spec to do that. And then we've also been working on other online technology sets that are very useful into measuring some of these other things like glucose, lactate, biomass, and being online capable. So that means being able to just stream out the data for the operator or for the models to be informed.
Thank you. And this extends to cell and gene therapies, doesn't it? Developing consistent and robust cell therapy manufacturing processes to, buzzword of the day, accelerate personalized medicine. Could you dig a little deeper for listeners and for me, frankly, into the benefits of online systems there?
Oh yeah, for sure. And you might argue that there's even more of a need for that, because where in a biologics, you're using the cell to express the product, express the therapeutic, and make a particular protein that you would like to use as the therapeutic. In a cell therapy, you could be dealing with the patient cell specifically, and the cell is the product, is the therapeutic. So a lot of analytics is really required to be able to monitor that, to make sure you have what you expect to have before it goes back into a patient. There is just a ton of a need there to do more of a real-time capability. And there's another element, which is a labor savings and a risk savings. So if you think of something like a autologous cell therapy, where each batch of sample is for a particular patient, you really want to make sure that all your risks are minimized. So being able to have an online sampling method, and that really means an aseptic approach to monitoring something like glucose, lactate. Lactate is so important also as a surrogate for the viability. So how many cells do you have, and is it ready to harvest? And if you can have sensors, if you can have technologies that can real-time stream that to you, you avoid someone from gowning up and going into a clean room and going in there and trying to take a sample from that bioreactor without causing a sterility problem, and doing so multiple times a day. And now you could do it every 2 minutes. And you just get a lot more information, and which is so incredibly important to accelerate what's being done in the cell and gene space. And if you start to think about where these technologies go, and something like a cell therapy, there's an opportunity to go after 10,000 plus rare diseases. But you need building blocks, you need platforms, you need automation to really help that happen. So there's just a ton of opportunity there to be able to help screen cell lines, work on process conditions, provide process models, and really provide that, call it, rich set of information that the scientists can use to ensure the quality of the product that will ultimately go back to the patient.
Gosh, it is exciting, and so many possibilities with this accelerated and accelerative technology. As you say, you've actually preempted my next and final question there, Kevin. What of the future I mean, we've got this increasing speed. Where does that speed us to? Is there an end destination? If so, what is it? And if not, why?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I wish I had a crystal ball. But, you know, there is so much happening in this field. It really honestly feels like it's a whole new frontier that's really picking up and is now inflecting into the capabilities and what's possible. Even the notion of getting after that number of rare diseases, the notion of can we move things from 10 years to single digit years of approvals? Is it possible to make more of a platform, more of a block approach to make that go faster? Because there are so many patients out there that can benefit from it. So I think you're just gonna see that this is really beginning from all sides, from whether it be the use of AI that we touched on here, whether it's the types of sensors and the simplicity and automation that brings you. But it's amazing. In fact, I mean, if you just look back over history and biologics, a lot has been done with, it's called CHO cells, these Chinese hamster ovary cells. Those cells were selected some, I believe, about 50 years plus, maybe in the 1950s. And that was really selected because at the time, that was the limit of the capability of the technology, of the limits of microscopy, the limits of what they had at that time to be able to grow and produce. And everything out there now in the biologics, a good portion has been built up off of that. So if we're sitting here today in 2024 and we're really just seeing all of these new technologies coming to bear, bioprocessing 4.0, machine learning, AI, can you imagine? You really take a fresh look on how all of this done, CRISPR approaches, gene editing, all of this to me is really at a cusp as an inflection point where it can all come together. And my engineering perspective is not biologist perspective, of course, but you can just see that the industry is really changing for the better.
It really is very futuristic. We are in the future and yet possibly at the precipice of a future we can't yet imagine. Thank you very much for your time today, Kevin. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, thanks for having me again, Nicole.
And so that concludes another episode of the Pharma Forum podcast. You can find out more information about this episode, including a download link and information about previous installments of the series at pharmaforum.com/podcasts. The Pharma Forum podcast is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, and Podbean, where you can find and subscribe by searching for Pharma Forum. Of course, don't forget to visit our website itself, where you can sign up for daily news and analysis bulletins, and follow us on Twitter, or X nowadays, at Pharma Forum. That's all for now. Thank you for listening.